Good to see all of you this morning. Hope you've had a blessed week. We understand we're going to have some rather warm weather in the next few days. Hope your Bible is up to 1 Chronicles. It is the 28th chapter. This is David speaking about the house of God, and he's speaking to his son Solomon. Beginning with verse 19 of 1 Chronicles 28:19. And all this said David, the Lord made me to understand in the writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor to be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee from all manner of workmanship, even willing and skillful men, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy command. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the good word. David speaking to Solomon. Grace. God's grace. Redeeming grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. I think you sing a lot of that, don't you? Every once in a while, I hear you. I don't want to be a resounding cymbal as far as the situations that are being taking precedence over all that was going on in our communities and our places, our businesses, everything. But I want to comfort you in the fact that when all looks its worst, God is at his best. And when everything looks like it is gone, gone, and gone, God has not left. And if he's watching out over little bitty birds out here and not one of them falls to the earth without him knowing it, and not one of them goes hungry before dark, he said, you're worth more than many birds. And then he turned to the disciples and he said, O ye of little faith, where is the faith? Lord and I have been talking a lot about all that is happening around us and our church and with me and other places. And the realization is that each one of us has a vital part in making God's plan perfect in this place. Now we can all take a hike and run and hide. That's a lot of people's way of handling things. It's kind of like the ostrich. When he don't want to see his problem, he just sticks his head in the sand and sticks his big fanny up in the air and waits for somebody to run over him. That's the way a lot of people live their Christian life. They stick their head in the sand, they stick their head down where they can't see what's coming, and they just kind of dwell with their head in the sand waiting for somebody to come over them, run over them with a truck or something. But the thing about it is, we've got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is his work, not yours. And this is his church, not yours. This is his building, and all the things around it is not yours. And the whole world and everything in it is his and not yours. Now, David had some concerns. He really, with all his heart, wanted to build something big and beautiful for God. You ever wanted to do something big and beautiful for God? You ever really want to put your heart to doing something that is just off the scale, beautiful, and you want to build it for God? Talked to my dentist this week. He's going to Israel. I asked him if he would mind if I went along. Well, he didn't think that was a good idea. My teeth might fall out. No, that's the story right there. I'm just teasing. He's going on a walk around all these sites to Jerusalem. He's going to the top of some of these mountains. And his concern was he was sitting there messing with my mouth. He's talking all the time. And he said, my concern is that I might not be strong enough to reach the top of those mountains because I'm the photographer, going to make pictures, everybody reaches up there. I said, well, you could pass the camera off to a nice strong 60-year-old and maybe let him go up there and make pictures while you sit on a bench and wait for him to come back. Well, he didn't think that was a good idea. I said, well, you could bring me along. I walk pretty fast and I'm right stout and strong. And that still didn't go over either. I guess my tour of Jerusalem will come around when Jesus shows up. And my tour will be probably given to me by some of the angels or something, I guess. I won't worry about it. But David's concern was, he's going to turn this thing over to Solomon. You ever turn something over to somebody younger than you are? Ooh, right there where he goes, thong. Wrinkles start getting in your brain when you start turning it over to somebody that's younger than you are. That's supposed to know everything, but yet, in all honesty, they don't know everything. They just think they do. Isn't that amazing? And it's amazing to me what really is frustrating and very amazing to me. And all, just everything. It's amazing to me how much we know, yet we don't know. But David's trying to instill something in Solomon so he would carry out this thing that David had in his mind. Do you realize sometimes that God has a plan that he's passed down from the elders to the young folks and then even to the children? God's plan hasn't stopped with just us old and more mature people. The plan of God keeps going on. But David is speaking to Solomon. He said, in verse 19, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Now what pattern is he thinking about? Pattern for the house of the Lord. Now somebody says you're going to talk about building a building. Nope, I'm talking about building the spiritual house of God. And the Bible says ye are the temple of the living God, wherein dwells the Holy Spirit. Have you felt it lately? Have you felt the Holy Spirit lately? Let's just kind of see if you felt it lately. It's not here? Don't move you? Oh my goodness. There's a power shortage. There is a horrible power shortage in the house of God. Because if you can't honestly raise your hand in this place and say, I have felt God's power, God's presence, and God over me this week, there is something desperately missing out of your life. It is called the power of God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's called. I've got a feeling the Lord's been doing a lot of this to a lot of your lives this week. I don't hear nobody answering that, did you? I didn't hear a soul answer that. That's what God has been doing throughout this whole week, trying to get in your life to make you realize that His Son Jesus needs to be in your heart. And you can't get away from your life, from all that's going on, from all the things that's going on in your life, a moment to give Him presence of mind to let His Son Jesus come to you. No, can't do that. I am too busy. I have got too much to do. I've got to go make more money. I've got to serve the Navy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do everything I want to do. No disrespect to the Navy, please. He wanted somebody to take over this project because God told him, he said, David, because you have shed much blood, because you have destroyed the enemies of God, because you have laid them waste and you have cut them to pieces, I cannot allow you to lay one hand on my temple. Isn't that amazing? God can't use people that have done horrible things to do his work. But you know the amazing thing about this new plan he's got through Jesus? He takes some of the most horrible people and makes them into his children. Isn't that marvelous? He takes people that are some of the most wretched, awful, ungodly, evil people and gives them the gift of his Son Jesus, and his precious blood washes them people till they are what? hotter than snow. They suddenly become the temple of the living God. Wherein dwells what? The Holy Spirit, people. You read? He says, wherein dwells the Holy Spirit? Where's the Spirit gone? Did he take wings and fly away? No. Somebody says, you're talking like he's a personality. No, I'm saying it is God's power and presence. Where's it gone? He's trying to talk to Solomon to kind of get him going. I don't think Solomon was a dumb child. Out of all of David's children, why did God so graciously look at him? There was Absalom who stood tall, beautiful, wavy hair, stood like a man. I mean, he was a man. When he walked out, the women went, oh. I don't know what Solomon looked like. He's probably that stubby little fat one back in the corner there that didn't look like Absalom. I don't know how he looked. But the Bible says that Absalom was a handsome, outstanding man. It didn't say, Solomon, you're a handsome, outstanding man. It just said Solomon was the son of David. And God chose Solomon to rule over all of his people. David says to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do what? Build the temple. Are you about building God's church? You see a brother in need, a sister in sorrow. You see somebody having a hard time. You see somebody turning away from the way of God, going down the broad way to destruction. What's the thing that you ought to do? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Have you been doing that lately? Somebody says, oh, we got a bad floor, we got a leak in the church. Those things don't matter at all. You want me to tell you why they don't matter? Because this will pass away at the coming of Jesus. This will be nothing when Christ shows up. What's going to be something is how you built the spiritual church of Jesus Christ. You ever ask the Lord to lay some soul upon my heart? And love that soul through me. You sing it. Do you do it? You see them going down the broadway to destruction. You see them tearing up the highway, going right down to Gehenna fire. You see them going that way. And what are you doing to turn them around? You see your children going in adverse paths, and you know that's not right. Do you go and pray with them? Do you get down and talk to God first, and then you go in their rooms and get down beside their beds and talk to God about them and for them? Do you get them with you and talk to them and surround the kitchen table and pray for them and pray with them? Do you do that? You want something to happen in this ridiculous world of sin and fear and doubt and loss? Put God where God ought to be. Back in your temple. Because if he's in your temple, then you're his. Solomon's going to build a physical temple. Isn't that wonderful? They built a... You seen that? Have anybody ever seen a picture of that church where the Mormons built? Where is it, Utah? Whew! Good gracious. There's more room from the floor to the ceiling than any place I've ever seen in my life. And I've just seen it through pictures. I'd get dizzy doing this, just walking down looking through the ceiling of it. But God does not dwell in temples made with hands. God dwells in hearts through Jesus Christ. Somebody said the treasure's in trouble in the church. You know what's in trouble in the church because the treasure's in trouble? The people are not doing what God has told them to start. You bring all the tithes work into my storehouse. You do all these things, and he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on you that you will not be able, what? to receive. Did you believe him in that? Or did you just write him off? Please write him off, because he really, people do it to him all the time. It's nothing unusual to be with a large crowd. People write him off every day. People take his name in vain. They curse him. They do all kinds of stuff. He feeds them. He watches over them. He takes care of their families. He blesses their children. He blesses their wives. He blesses everything around them. He pours out his presence all around them. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. Please join the crowd and go with them. Because if you're not going to do it for God here, you might as well go do it with them. Because you're doing it already. David's concerned. He said, "Fear not, nor be dismayed." You know, God has a plan. He says, "There's no fear in my plan. There's no reason to be dismayed in my plan. There's no reason to fall back in my plan. Because if you're in my plan, you don't have to be afraid. Because the only thing that's going to happen is when you are truly involved with God, when you are truly walking with God, is there only one thing that's going to happen in your life, and that is the resurrection from the dead, the kingdom of God under the whole heavens, given to the people of the saints of the Most High. If you're tied up with this world and what's in it, it's going down. It's going down. Somebody says, "Oh, I lost so much money in the stock market." Going down. "I lost so much when the banks went down." Going down. "I've lost so much this, that, and the other. My company's shutting down. All these things that happened." Going down. You know, the only thing going up is the people that believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That believe in the only plan, and that's God's plan. Those people are going to go up in the clouds of heaven and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. You want things to happen. It happens first with you. It don't happen with the guy beside of you, or the person to your right or to your left or in front of you. It has to happen with you. He said, "Solomon, I don't want you to be fear or be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee." Who is with us? I did not hear it. Please tell me. Who is with us?
God.
Goodness gracious, I'm glad. I thought you all lost your voice. Now you've said his name, do you believe what he says? Is there a spark of faith in you that says, "I can do all things," like Paul said, "through Christ which strengtheneth me"? Do you realize that you're stepping into a whole new world now? It's not something that your daddy done, Brother Duncan done, this one done, or anybody in this church done. Do you know where you're stepping into? You're going to build the house of God. Build his temple. David was going to build it. He was going to bring all this gold in there. He was heaving up all this stuff. He was bringing all these precious jewels in there. Bringing all the silver in there. Bringing everything in there. Bringing everything. Every precious piece of wood. Everything that would beautify the temple of God. He was bringing it there. Boy, he was a piling up the stuff. He just couldn't build it. He couldn't even lay one stone upon the other. He couldn't put one post in the wall. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything at all, because God says, "Your hands are dripping with the blood of your enemy." Standing with all that stuff and still couldn't do what God wanted, what you wanted to do for God. You cannot do what God wants to be done in your life until you stop. Till you absolutely, positively stop looking at all that's around you instead of looking at God that's above you. Don't look to your children. Don't look to your husband. Don't look to your wife. Don't look to no one. Begin right now, this day, on this time, 11:30 in this church, to look to God. Start a catastrophe happened. Water got down here and water did this. And now, you know something? One swipe of his hand, this thing could be somewhere in St. Louis. Some of the greatest worship that the forefathers of this church done was out under apple trees. Did you know that? And old schoolhouses. Some of the greatest worship that's ever happened in our whole lives has been done other places than in a well-decorated church. But what are we looking for? Well, we could put all new things here, but that's not going to help the estate of the heart, is it? He says, "For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Do you fail God on a daily basis? Do you? Did you fail to pray before you even darkened the door of the church this morning? That's the first failure. Did you fail to give him praise this morning? That's the next failure. And judging from the few, a whole lot of them fail to even show up. I can count on my two hands the people and all that that's in the mountain. Where are the rest of them? You know, he's looking at this stuff. He's talking in my head and he's talking to you. And he is not really happy. Oh, my knee hurts. Oh, God, arthritis. I'm about to die. Oh, my belly hurts. I can't go to church. Oh, if one gets sick in the family, we all got to stay at home to rub that one's head. Bull, bull, and double bull. You try to give those excuses to God and his son Jesus in judgment and see how far that you get with it. And he's up to here with it. And when he stops striving with men, you know what happens? Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happens when his spirit stops striving with men? Flood. You know what happens when you stop striving with men? Judgment and destruction. You think he's happy? Somebody said he's smiling. No, I've got a feeling that he's looking a little frownful this way. Well, he's not angry. If he was angry, every time I spoke, it'd be far flying out here and yonder. If he was really angry. And every time I'd hit my hand on this pulpit, there'd be a ball of fire shoot towards that clock like you've never seen. Somebody says, "Oh, you're crazy, preacher." No, I'm just saying he's not angry. Because if he was, some of you would get some very warm feelings in some very different places. What was he saying to Saul? He said, "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Now, I want you to back up on that just a little bit. Listen to it. He will not fail thee. That's first. God has never failed anybody. There has quite a few fell down before they got to do what he wanted them to do. Good old Jonah thought he'd take a trip the other way. You know, sometimes we all think sometimes we got to go the way we want to go. No, we got to follow our family, the tradition of our fathers. We've got to do what Daddy done and Mama done and Meemaw and Pawpaw and all them people that were way back yonder. They knew God in a different way. You've got to go know God for yourself today. God is with you. He is not going to fail you. He is not going to cause anything to happen but exactly what he wants to happen. When you submit it to God, it's his will. Next. Nor forsake thee. He's not going to leave off. When you start, it's I'm going to go halfway. I'm going to go two-thirds of the way. I'm going to go 82% of the way. I'm going to go 99.9% of the way. It is all the way. That's it. Somebody sure blew you up this morning, didn't they?
The fact of the matter is that's what David's trying to get across to Solomon. He says, God will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work. Work for the night is coming. Do people work in the dark, the pitch dark? Can't find your way. I can't even find my bean patch in the dark. I can't even pick tomatoes in the dark. I've tried before. Got a whole lot of greenings and not too many reddings. I couldn't see what I was doing. Until thou finishest all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. You want the church to be built? It's a whole new plan, and it's God's. It's not yours. It didn't exist with you. It exists for you that you might be a part of it. That is, you build the church. You know why the devil really enjoys church people? He scatters them. And when they're all scattered around, they don't know what each other's doing. You know what you want to do with a bunch of sheep? If you really want to scare them to death, just get right in the middle of them and scream real loud. Either some of them will fall over like they're dead, and the others will run like somebody set their little fluffies on fire. That's the way the church is today. You know that? She's scattered. She's not together. For if she was together, she would be giving him an awful problem. We're going, where? Are we building the house of the Lord? Are we believing that God won't forsake us, nor he won't fail us? Are we believing that we're out to finish the house, the work of the Lord? Somebody said this was a physical building. Oh, I'm not talking physical this morning. Physical left when I got up here to preach. I'm talking about the spiritual building of God, which is you. You can't live like everybody else. If you're like the world, then you're going to go with the world when it all goes up in flames. Oh, I had one of them fellas in front of me this morning on the radio about how about everybody was going to go somewhere and go there forever. I've got news for you. There's nobody going anywhere at death except to the grave. And I don't care if he's been the wickedest person in the face of the earth, he's still going to be. And I don't care if he's been a saint before all his life, he's still going to grave. And when Jesus comes, he says, all in their grave shall hear his voice. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation, they all sleep. They're all on the ground. They're all there. And they await one thing, the appearing of the Son of God, the wonderful Savior called Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, let's get back to this. Did you bring your hammer? Spiritual. Did you bring your whole thing full of nails? You remember why them little aprons? You remember them little apron, nail aprons? I bought me a leather one. I like it a whole lot better. Because them others, them real sharp nails sometimes will work their way through and it didn't feel good. So I bought me a leather one. Now, it's a job for a nail to get through that booger, but it is a dandy. Got my hammer thing. It's got everything in there I want. It's got a place for my old straight edge. It's got a thing for this. And it's got a pouch about this big that you can cram a whole handful of nails in. And got a hammer hanger down here. I mean, I'm fixed to go up and do something. Even if it's damaging. Did you come to build the church today? Did you? You want God to start first building with you? I'll guarantee you, some of you, he's going to have to tire out a bunch and he's going to have to go quickly. He did me. He went inside and rearranged everything. He decided it was not supposed to be this way in my life. And when he got through remodeling, I liked it. The tired out part was hard on me, but the rebuilding part was the best thing that ever happened to me in all my life. But what was holding me up in there was not what he wanted. And he came back in. And when he did, he threw out what was no count and put what was right in his sight. You want to rebuild your temple? Simple. You come back to his son Jesus. You come back to him. Is that a hard trip? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You ask me that he don't want you back in his plan? I've got here to tell you, that man that died on Calvary, bled out his own precious blood, is called Jesus, the Son of God. And he himself was made a sacrifice for sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am the chief. Is he wanting to rebuild your life? Well, don't have a job. Don't have no money. Don't have... You know, it's not the worry about what you don't have. It's what you do have in God through Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe in him, he's the same one that can rain bread from heaven. You know that? Would you like your biscuits delivered by angels or just find them on the ground? Somebody says, you're crazy, preacher. No, I'm not crazy. I know who I serve. I think I got a pretty good idea what he can do. If he's done it once, I'm more than sure that he can do it twice and maybe more. So what is this, all this whimpering about what's happening to the economy? Do you know all these things must come to pass and then the end comes? Wake up! Who in the world put you to sleep? Who closed your blooming eyes that you cannot see that all these things are doing one thing? They are showing you that that Son of God standing at your Father's right hand is coming soon. The thing about it is that David is building a building. God is building a church. David is telling Solomon, I want you to put all this together that I've gathered together to make God a place. This building, he says, cannot contain thee. All that I have took from the earth and all that I have made into this beautiful temple cannot contain thee. The heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this building that I have built for thee. There's mosques everywhere. There's temples in India that go to the sky. There's places all over the world that they build up with great towers and great things. There's jewel-encrusted everything. There's people that's got walls full of jewels and everything in some of these places. You can walk through them and they're nothing but just temple after temple after temple. And you walk in the Vatican and they got statue, 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 statue. You know where all them people are? What did I say a while ago? They're all asleep. And I don't care how many prayers you make to saint so-and-so or how many times you cross your heart and do this in front of them, it still is not lifting no more than my finger off the wood. You go to that altar and put your face down to the carpet and you talk to the living God. That's what brings life through Jesus Christ. Until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. When's God's going to finish this? Jesus is going to finish it. He's coming. What did he say to us? Occupy till I come. Please sit down. Don't get up. Just come right in and sit down and don't do a thing. And I'm going to come and take you off your little seat and put you right in the kingdom. Did he say that?
Yeah. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And that last word was not a cuss word. It's right in the book.
The thing of it is that we are this close to doing everything God wants us to do. And you ever heard that thing, yet so close and yet so far away? You ever heard that one? Yet so close and yet so far away. You ever tried to outgive God? He owns all this anyway. But you ever tried to take His stuff and outgive Him? No, you can't. All this belongs to Him anyway. It's His. They talk about all the gold they've got and all the diamonds they've got and all the valuables they've got. There's actually some people that's just got vaults full of them. You know who that belongs to? God. You know how he's going to stand? A rich man's going to stand in front of the Lord. How he's going to look? Not with one dime. Not anything. You're going to stand there rich and blessed. Him that knows Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of his life. Not in rich in things of the earth, but rich in things of God. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know I am pretty well stashed out some words and it's not here? Do you know I've got more than I ever thought I'd ever have and it's not here? Do you know that I have got so many things that I can't count them? I'm not Scrooge. I don't sit there on my thing and count my money up, because my money comes in, it's like grease. One minute it's here and the next minute it's slid and it's gone. It's not there no more. So don't worry about it. The Lord builds it, it's His. It's not mine. I just have the privilege to use it. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to listen to David? He wanted so badly for this young man to build this place for God. You ever want to make something so pretty? You ever thought about making something so pretty? It's just so pretty. You want to make it so pretty. Any of your husbands ever built something and you thought it was pretty, but it probably had a few blessings. You know, I've done that. I built a few things I thought was pretty, but they needed a blessing all over. But anyhow, your wife walks out and looked at it, and she says it's the prettiest thing she's ever laid her eyes on. Why did she say that? Because you did it and built it for her in love. That's what it was. That's why it looks so nice. God's trying to help us build our temple. David does another statement, and this is in the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, excuse me. He said, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for him, but for who? The Lord God. What did he just say? He said, my son is going to rule in my stead, but who is really going to rule? My God. Are you up to letting God rule in this place? Would you like to turn him loose in here? Would you just like to turn him loose? Would you like to just for a few minutes let God turn loose in this place? You'll either be sitting on the pew, standing up one, or you'll be under him if God shows up. One or the other will be happy. We've all been chosen like Solomon. You ever thought about that for a minute? Did God just lay his hand on him? No, he didn't. He just lay his hand on Paul? No, he didn't. Did he lay his hands on all them other guys? Oh, he did, didn't he? Well, has he laid his hand on you? Or maybe you'd like for him to. Maybe you'd like to turn him loose to refurbish your life and your temple of God in your life. Would you like to turn him loose in your life? I can hear the stuff flying now. I can see the crowbar, and I can see everything, and I can see stuff coming out the door and buckets and all kinds of stuff. Walked in an old house down here. I thought the place looked good before
I walked through it before when there's stuff in it. I thought it looked nice. It was had a lot of old stuff in it. You ever see that old paneling stuff, you know, ridge stuff that they put in the ceilings and they put in the walls? Well, this stuff didn't look half bad. It looked all right to me. 4 days later, I walked through that place and it looked like somebody had took a vacuum cleaner and sucked everything off the walls. Everything was gone. I thought it looked pretty good when I walked through, but they gutted it. That's what the man said he's going to do. He's going to gut it and insulate it, bottom, top, floors, everywhere. He's going to take that place down to nothing but just 2x4s and 2x6s, and he's going to gut the thing to where it was totally nothing inside, and then he's going back in and put everything new in it. That's exactly what God wants to do through Jesus Christ. Tear it all out. And rebuild your temple. And make you His child forever. Do you think there's some rotten boards? I don't know. I have no idea. Do you think God ought to have a nice place to dwell? By the Holy Spirit? That's what David thought. That was his thought. He was going to build God a place that was fit for God. He said, "The heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house I have built for thee." The heavens of heavens cannot contain the Lord, but He can be contained in your heart through His Son Jesus. Ye are the temple of the living God, wherein dwells the Holy Spirit. And let me say this. If the Spirit of God's not within, then where in the world is it? Where is it? I asked you to raise your hand about the Spirit a while ago, and I got about 8 or 10 out of the crowd. Come back this evening, and I'll ask you again. When's the last time He talked to you? When's the last time you felt Him? When's the last time you felt His hand? When's the last time that your Father's love came into your heart so strong that He warmed you all over? When was the last time? One of the most comforting things that my mama used to do to me, before I'd go to bed sometimes, she'd come in and she'd say, "Jimmy," said, I haven't stopped loving you. I love you as much as I did yesterday. I love you today. She said, "When I quit breathing," she says, "that's when I quit loving you." My Father is from everlasting to everlasting. He cannot quit loving me. He will not quit loving me. He will always love me. Even to the end of the world, He will love me. And then one glorious, wonderful time, He is going to take me into His presence, and He is going to love me forever. Now, what are you going to do with Him? What will you do with your Father's love? I'm just here. But I know one thing. You won't leave here today without this fact that when you walk out on that porch to leave here, in the day of the Lord, you will say, "I was there that day, in that place, at that hour, in that house. And I did hear your word that